cause them to sin against God knowingly. So, and look at the trouble it caused. Israel wasn't the only nation that had that problem. Look at our planet today. Because of language divisions, because of social divisions, religious divisions, political divisions, our globe is about as divided as you can get. That's why there's so much unrest everywhere. That's why we need ambassadors and military. Because since the beginning, it's been like that ever since Satan rebelled in heaven. Because he didn't get his way because of his pride. He came to earth and he has been convincing people to be the same way. And the earth has been divided ever since, in one way or another. Look at our own country. Our government. Our government can't even get along with itself. Got to have Democrats, got to have Republicans, got to have moderates, got to have liberals, got to have conservatives. Why is that? Because man is governing man. Man doesn't want to be governed by God. Because the enemy has him blinded, thinking that God wants to ruin your life. He wants to control you. He doesn't know what's good for you. The church. Is the church divided? Yeah, it is. There are so many denominations today, and I hear it from people outside the church all the time when they find out I'm a pastor or when I mention the name of Jesus, and they have questions, why are there so many denominations? How come, they call themselves Presbyterians and, they're Episcopal and they're Baptist and, they're Mormons and, What can I tell them? Except that, I don't follow any of those. I follow Jesus, and that's what God has His people in every denomination. That's the church. They are the church. The denominations are just a ploy of the devil. To separate people from God. I know that we are called to be one, even as He is one. That's what His word says. And when we meet somebody who truly knows the Lord and follows Him, it's obvious. I mean, if you talk with them, you know where their heart is. Doesn't matter what they call themselves. I do wish that they would just drop all that. Because it has to be confusing to the world. If I do believe in Jesus, where do I go to worship? The beautiful thing is, if you have Jesus living in you, when you go to a church or a chapel or sheep shed or whatever you want to call it, you'll know if He's there. Because I know He wants us to have the truth. So yeah, His church is divided. But He wants us to bring it together. I know that when I first got saved, I walked right into a great church. But when I moved back to Maine, I looked all over the place for a place, where I felt I was worshiping Jesus where He was. And it took a while to find a place like that. But you know what? I've noticed in the, almost 15 years I've been back, that He is getting a foothold here. People are beginning to hear about the real Jesus. Not about church, not about a certain denomination's doctrines, but about Jesus and how he feels about us. And that's encouraging. When Jesus was talking to them about a house divided, can't stand. In the last 15 years, I've seen a few churches divide. Some of it was over teaching. Some of it was over pride. You know, I want to be the pastor. I think I should be running this church. Did anybody ask what Jesus' opinion was, who should be running the church? So, it boils right down to the most important house, and that's the temple of God. And 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" As long as this house isn't divided, this house won't be divided. If we put our focus on Jesus Christ and we stick to the simple form of worship that in Acts chapter 2 that the disciples followed, they said, "Let us just continue in prayer, in the study of the word, and in fellowship, and in breaking of the bread." And you know what? That's what we've been doing here. That's what we do. We love Jesus for what he's done for us. We study his word. We pray because we know that he is the only one that is capable of doing the things that we ask. I know I tried all my life to answer my own prayers, and I did a very poor job. But I know he loves me, and I know he wants what's best for me. And as long as I keep looking to him and comparing myself to him, I'm not going to be judging anybody else. And therefore, I'm not going to be accusing or upset or angry. My emotions won't come into play. That's what divides, is our human nature. If my heart is divided, if my human nature wants to run my life, then I'm not going to be looking at the church through the eyes of Jesus Christ. That's why I need Jesus sitting on the throne of my heart, so that my house won't be divided. I love some of the ways that he's given us to avoid this, and that's what he wants. He does not want his house divided. We're supposed to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. And if our hearts are divided, then we're not going to be very effective at that. And that's why he gave us everything that we need to know to avoid that, to keep that from happening. And every writer in the New Testament has warned us about that. 2 Corinthians, he says, "What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God. And they will be my people." That's something we need to meditate on. Is that I'm the temple of God. He lives in me. So how far do I have to go to worship? How far do I have to go to seek counsel? How far do I have to go to ask blessing and help? Right where I am. He is living in me. And if I can stay in that position of thought, I'm going to do okay. That's the hard part, isn't it? Staying in that place where you remember that you are the temple of the living God. You are the presence of God in this world, if indeed His Spirit dwells in you. How desperate is the world for that? For the light of God shining in their lives. What attracted you to God? Was God living in somebody else? And living and speaking the truth. So he left us here for that purpose. So 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. We've experienced that. That simple call, come to me. I'll give you rest for your soul. We don't always stay in that place of rest, but he has a cure for that too. We'll get to that. He says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. I like seeing God as my father, not just Almighty God who can hit me with a lightning bolt when I'm rebellious and disobedient, but my father who calls me his son, chastises me because he loves me, and teaches me the right way. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 7, verse 1, it says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear and reverence of God. Again, just calling ourselves to that relationship with the Lord. It's going to keep us from making the mistakes that cause division. And I love all you people, and I'm glad we're a family, and I hope we stay that way forever. I was in a church that did split. It broke my heart. I loved every one of those people, every one of them. And you know, I know they all knew and loved Jesus Christ, but their human nature got in the way for some of them, and they felt that they had to go a different way. That can happen anywhere if we're not paying attention. So remember to pray for the body of Christ, that it remains one with him. That should be one of the priorities in our prayer list. Is for the body of Christ, no matter where it is. But I love this one. This is my home. This is my close family. In Galatians, it says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Again, that's where our hope comes from. The Spirit of God living in us. I don't know about you, but I need to call on that power in my life every day, because my human nature is just waiting right there for me to become complacent or distracted so it can take right over again. So that's why it's important to remember that you're the vessel and the temple of the Holy Spirit. Invite him in every day as often as necessary. In Hebrews chapter 10. I believe this is one of the most important ways that we can stay in that place where we can be guided and directed by the Holy Spirit. I believe this is what we need every day of our lives. In Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 19, it says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another to stir up love and good works. If we're considering one another to stir up love and good works, we're not so worried about lifting ourselves up. What's good for me? What do I want? But when we're considering each other, when we're looking at each other saying, Lord, how can I be a brother? How can I be a blessing? How can I be like you today? That's what I love about him. He takes my focus off of me and puts it where he wants it to be. So let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider one another to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more, as you see the day approaching." That was one of the most important verses in my life, is remembering not to forget the gathering together of ourselves. Because whenever we get together, we remind each other how much we're loved by God, that He has a good and perfect plan for each one of our lives, and that He's going to get us through all this. I don't know about you, but I need that. I can't go a whole week without that. I'm here every chance I get because I need to be reminded that it doesn't matter who the president is. It doesn't matter who my congressman is. What matters is who my king is and who my God is. And you guys remind me of that. So many times I've come here just depressed because of what I've seen going on in the world, and I come here and remind me that there's a door open waiting in heaven for me. That someday I get to walk through that door to all the promises that Jesus has made. We all do. And in the meantime, He wants that to be our focus. So as we go through this world, we see it as He does. And that we'll act and react and speak according to what we know to be the truth. James tells us, he says, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." I find that when I'm pleading with God for the things I want, he always reminds me who God is, and it's not me. And when I remember that, I'm in a good place. Because I remember then that he loves me and he knows what's best for me. Even if it's not what I want, it's what's best. And I'm slowly learning to realize that and accept it. Not as much as I'd like to, but I do know that he wants what's best for me. So I try to pray that way now. I still, let him know what I want, but I acknowledge that he knows what I need, so, and that I'm willing to accept that. So, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, when Jesus was telling us who is blessed, he said, "Blessed are the pure in heart." And that's what he's been doing for us ever since we've asked him to come into our lives. Purifying our hearts. We sang that song this morning, "Refine Us Fire." I love that. I love that he puts the heat on sometimes so the dross comes to the top so he can scrape the poison off and what's left is pure. Painful sometimes, but oh, it's so worth it for the peace and the joy that comes afterwards. Knowing that it's not up to you to save yourself. It's up to you to present yourself to the one who can do that for you. I'm glad he made it so simple. And I'm glad that he goes so far out of his way to remind us of those things. So he said, "Blessed are the pure in heart." And it's like we prayed and sang this morning, "Purify my heart, Lord. Make me pure. You be the only one sitting on the throne. Help me to trust you." And you know what? As long as we're doing that, as long as our hearts are pure towards him, we're going to be a family forever. You know, people have come here and they've left because, well, they didn't like the music, they didn't like the teaching, they didn't like the guy that was sitting over there, But we've had people who have come and left because they came and they saw God for who he really was. And they loved God and they believed him and they trusted him. And then God said, "Hey, you come with me. I need you over here so you can show that to these people." And you know what? They're still our brothers and sisters, and they're spread out all over the place. We've had more people come through here and go other places, and God is just being seen for who he is because he met them here and brought them where he wanted to be. I don't know what God wants to do with our lives. He has a plan for each one of them. But I just know this, wherever I am, whoever I'm with, I want to be the person he wants me to be. And he wants me to be his temple. So all he asks us to do is obey the 11th commandment. It's what I call the 11th commandment anyway. Was to love one another as he has loved us. And if we can do that, then the world is going to see that he lives, that he's real. I hope none of you think I'm speaking to anybody specifically. This was something I needed to hear. This was something I asked the Lord, what he wanted me to talk about when Bob asked me to fill in for him. And, I started studying on the subject, and then I'm always second guessing myself. And then I noticed that in a week, probably next Sunday, Pastor Bob is going to be teaching on this very same subject in Mark chapter 3. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute, Lord, am I really supposed to be talking about this? So I believe it is, and I think it's something, that the Lord wants to impress on our hearts. Not just that these things can happen, but how to avoid them. And you know what? I know that's in the heart of all you people. I've never known anything like this. I've never known the peace that I know now. I've never had joy like I have now. I've never felt so much a part of a family as I do now.